Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy.
It's the hangover after. Show, Jimmy. It's the hangover show. That's all we're going to call it. For Penn State fans, this is your hangover show.
It's the day after, and my heart is broken, and it's going to be a while, Andy, before it's repaired.
Should be. Hell of a football game. Unbelievable. A classic. Notre Dame, Penn State, college football playoff semifinal. Just absolutely scintillating. Back and forth. Penn State on top. Notre Dame punching back. Penn State crawling off the deck to show it is the better team. It's the team that should be playing for the national championship. And then, you know, in those critical moments toward the end, as the clock winds down, Penn State had two mistakes, right? Cam Miller fell down, long touchdown, easy touchdown. That happened. Drew Aller, I don't know what was said, what everything that proceeded. It looked like to me, in some ways, he was trying to throw that ball into the ground and just live to fight another day. It was the wrong decision. Here's what Notre Dame did. Notre Dame kept taking punch after punch from Penn State, and their quarterback climbed above all of it, right? Like, if you think about it, Penn State had twice as many rushing yards. Notre Dame couldn't run the ball like it likes to offensively. They lost the turnover battle. Penn State had 5 sacks. Notre Dame had 1 sack, right? The 2 critical calls in the game both leaned Penn State's way. That's a lot to overcome. And the way I saw it at the end of the day, the quarterback, Riley Leonard, exceeded expectations, played, you know, fantastic with what he was dealing with. The team with the better quarterback who performed on that day, which was Notre Dame, won the football game. That was my end of story. It boiled down. There was all of this that came down to who the one thing I thought that this game might boil down to, if they had to, which quarterback could move his team to victory. And I didn't think it was Riley Leonard, and it was Riley Leonard. I thought Drew Aller would be capable of doing what Riley Leonard did if the game went sideways for Penn State. And in the end, it went sideways big time for Notre Dame, and he rose above it. And at the very end, had an opportunity to put his team in position. Third down, Jimmy. 7 for 11 on third down. That little third down pitch and catch right there at the end that got him 5 or 6 extra yards, made that field goal just a little bit easier to win it. Just a microcosm of what that kid did all day for them.
Andy, I think Marcus Freeman and the way Notre Dame played, their resiliency makes them a much more appealing team than most times with Notre Dame. However, with that said, it's way too early to feel that way. There will be a day when I will give Notre Dame credit. Today is not that day. It's about Penn State and how they played. And mostly, Andy, it's going to be about Drew Aller and his performance.
It has to be, Jimmy.
Yeah. I've been probably one of Drew Aller's biggest advocates. Going into this game, I felt that not only was he going to be the difference, but his ability to throw the ball downfield, his ability to provide Penn State with some explosive plays from the passing game, I thought that was going to be the difference in this game. And Andy, now this may be a bit self-serving. I don't think I was wrong I think, though, Drew Aller just did not execute. He did not perform. Even prior to that interception at the end of the game, as you pointed out, he was very fortunate. Two other passes that were intercepted got called back because of penalties.
Correct.
He missed open receivers.
He did.
Andy, on that first drive, first opportunity, on the third down pass to Nick Singleton, you could argue all you want that Nick Singleton could have, not necessarily should have, but could have caught that pass, but it was a bad pass on his part. And even going prior to the terrible interception, Andy, he did not have a good game at all.
He was the problem, Jimmy. If you look at like all the things I look at that indicate that Penn State needed to win, right? Like that running the football, offensive line was dominant. By the way, the offensive line was exceptional for Penn State. They were moving Notre Dame guys out of the way consistently all night. Defense not getting, burned badly on a consistent basis. The Penn State defense fell short in getting off the field on third down. That's what ended up hurting them defensively. Their defensive ends running them up. Those two guys had themselves a night. I know we'll talk more about that. But at the end of the day, Drew Aller massively underperformed, Jimmy. Massively. Two interceptions, like you noted, callback. He missed Tyler Warren in the seam in between the linebacker and the safety earlier in the game. Easy completion, right? He missed another easy completion before the pass to Nick Singleton on the goal line. Yeah, can Singleton maybe have caught that? Maybe. But he was wide open, Jimmy. He wiggled out and found the route. And for when you're running in that direction and the ball's a little bit behind you and low, it's kind of on your inside hip. If it's on your outside hip or at your toes, that's actually an easier catch than kind of reaching back against your momentum and trying to grab it at your hip. I mean, if the ball is floating in the air, it's a touchdown. So that was a dreadful throw, Jimmy, because that's like a little 5-yard toss. That's one you should make in your sleep. At the end of the day, Jimmy, 12 for 25. That's sub 50% completion. 123 yards, no touchdowns. And I will say this. This is not a defense. I will say this. Wide receivers, wide receivers, wide receivers. No catches, zero catches, zero impact. Notre Dame has sticky corners and runs good man coverage, and they simply couldn't get open and were not available option. That was a contribution to Drew Aller's struggles, but Drew Aller did enough on his own to struggle already. He underperformed, Jimmy, and on the big stage out like that, and when a game is kind of that back and forth and that exciting and thrilling, the difference was one quarterback performed two expectations or a little above, one underperformed. The team whose quarterback met expectations or overperformed a bit won the football game. That was it. Because really the only advantage I think that Notre Dame had was the quarterback. Literally, I think that was it. Every other thing I look at in a football game, I'm like, Penn State was a better team on so many fronts and in so many ways. You know, at the end of the day, Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, and Tyler Warren are not, and Deni Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter, by the way, crazy how good those two were. They were not good enough. Those guys on offense, those three studs on offense were not good enough to overcome a underperforming quarterback in Drew Aller on that night.
Well, Andy, the thing is, when you talk about, Tyler Warren and the running backs and those weapons, the quarterback is such an integral part of any offense. Okay. Penn State needed something from Drew Aller throwing the ball. Now, you brought up the wide receivers. It also leads me to wonder, the wide receiver, by the way, one other, just as a note, you mentioned that he was 12 of 25. I actually had him 12 of 23. Not that it's a much better, Andy, but that would put him just over 50%, which is still not good.
Right.
And the total yardage of 135 yards, not good. Not
12 of 23. You're right, Jimmy. I just looked at my box score. I apologize. You're correct.
Well, no apologies necessary there, Andy. It's, you know, the difference is awful versus even more awful. Awful-er.
So, it still was underperforming at any level the way you look at it.
And, you know, you could look at the numbers, and it's pretty obvious from that. But if you go by the eyeball test and watching the game, he missed open receivers. He was fortunate. Now, one could argue on those interceptions that were called back, the penalties themselves may have helped in the interceptions. You know,
not the first one, Jimmy.
The guy draped all over Tyler Warren. But regardless, they may not have been great decisions, but it also, like, in throwing to Tyler Warren, who actually there were two defenders there, Andy, versus now the wide receivers who were targeted so infrequently, a total of five times, two to Amari Evans and three to Trey Wallace. It makes you wonder, are the wide receivers not getting open at all?
No.
Is this Drew Aller not trusting them?
No. It's the wide receivers couldn't get open, Jimmy. He throws to open receivers. They're part of a progression. On the last play where he threw the pick, Jimmy, right, where he ended up, you know, throwing the interception there, that was his third read. There was a read one and a read two down the left-hand side. So they're part of the progressions of that night. They're just, Jimmy, they're not open. You look down the field, he's tucked the ball. He took a couple sacks when they blitzed him earlier in the game. Show the wide pan of the screen. You're like, there's not even a wide receiver close to being open. And one of Notre Dame's strengths, one of the reasons they are where they are, is their defense creates turnovers because their defensive secondary is so good at A, man coverage, B, reading the game, and C, getting to the football. They're very good. The one of the absolute strengths of this defense, of Notre Dame's defense going into this, was the back end and their corners' ability to cover one-on-one in man and be sticky right on a guy, like right on them, sort of in the Ohio State mold.
All right, Andy, that is going to be it for quarter number one. Unfortunately, we've got a whole lot more of this game to cover. We'll do that when we get back. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Andy. This is quarter number two of our show. We are going over that heartbreaking loss last night. Notre Dame 27, Penn State 24.
Ooh, yeah.
Andy, I'll tell you, before we get off the whole Drew Aller and wide receiver topic, something really fascinating in the box score, okay?
Okay.
And if you didn't see the game and you just saw this box score, you'd be wondering, what the heck, how in the world could this happen? Trey Wallace, in the receiving area, box score, had three targets, no completions, no receptions,
minus three yards.
Drew Aller, also, well, no targets, no receptions for minus 4 yards. actually, that apparently is how they do that last play of the game with the, you know, right. trying. Yes. Tossing it around.
That is where that came from. Yep. Yeah, so, that's interesting.
So Trey Wallace gets in the box score that way in a negative way, Andy. And Drew Aller, I also wonder, Andy, we didn't see them like they did in the Boise State game go over the top to Amari Evans. And yes, they completed one of those, but I also thought just doing that kind of loosened up the opponent's defense. We didn't see that at all in this game. Did that surprise you at all?
Not really, Jimmy. I didn't think Notre Dame had the shortcomings as a secondary to be able to take the lid off. It would have to happen at a course. I'm actually think Penn State did the right thing. It couldn't be forced, right? It couldn't be forced in this game. They're too good. They're too good at it. If you watch the USC game, USC kept trying to force the ball down the field against them. Two pick sixes. They're too good, Jimmy, to force it. To say, okay, with intention, we're throwing this ball to Amari Evans late. It had to happen naturally. Penn State, I had no problems with the game plans. I thought Andy Kotelnicki had a fantastic night play calling. I think they knew what they could do or what their strengths were. They stuck to it because it generally worked, Jimmy, except for the quarterback was off target all night. And he was not part of the solution or for what they were trying to do. Everything else was a full go, Jimmy. Everything else was a full go. So I don't think they could have forced that and taken the lid off. Or tried to anyway, because I think Notre Dame wins that battle 9 out of 10 times. Because Penn State's receivers just simply aren't that good. They're not good enough. And I know Amari Evans is fast, but just being fast against this Notre Dame secondary isn't good enough, Jimmy.
Well, and again, I don't think they needed to complete it, but just to show that they were willing to try, I think could possibly open things up. You're probably right, though, Andy. It is a very good Notre Dame defense that they were facing. And considering how poorly Drew Aller played, putting up 24 points against them was not so bad. I did want to ask you this because this seems to be a point of conversation today. At the end of the game, Penn State gets the ball back, and the color analyst, Greg McElroy, actually comes out and says, when he's asked, what should Penn State do, get conservative? His answer was no. They should go for it. Set it loose, play to win, all that. And you know what? I was in total agreement with him because I thought through this season, despite how Drew Aller played in this game, he's been very capable in that two-minute type of offense. First of all, forgetting for a second, you know, the end result, Penn State gets the ball back. Should they have gone for it the way they did, or should they have gotten conservative and played for overtime?
No, they 100% should have done what they done and try and win the football game. Why waste an opportunity to go win the football game when in 58 seconds or 52 seconds or however much time was left, in that whatever less than a minute that was left, you're going to be in that situation anyway, right? You're going to have to, in overtime, you have to play to win the football game, right? So you've got 52 seconds and a chance to win it on your own accord. Yeah, I 100% agree with the decision. There's you have the ball in favorable territory, right? Like where'd they start at, Jimmy? Was that like the 35-yard line, I believe?
I can look it up, Andy. I don't think it was that far along, but
yeah, to it was me, like at their was own still 30.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, plenty of time. Two timeouts, plenty of time. They started like at their own 28 or their own 30. They still had two timeouts left. You have to play to win the football game there. You're stuck at your own two. You're stuck at your own four.
Actually, just for accuracy here, Andy, Penn State got the ball back at their own 15-yard line. They gave the ball to Nick Singleton, who had a 13-yard run that got it out to the 28.
Yeah, then they went in go mode, right? They got a big run. You hand the ball to your running back, see what happens. He rips off 13 yards. It's go time. 100% agree. Go for it. Play to win the football game. Yes, absolutely.
I agree, Andy. And this was, they've done it before. Now, they were behind against USC, but you saw the ability to do that. Put the ball in Drew Aller's hands. They marched it down the field, had multiple fourth down conversions. So, yeah, I had confidence in Drew Aller. And this, again, is just part of that, day after analysis, okay, when people are looking, oh, how could they do that the way Drew Aller was playing? Well, you're looking at a small sample size. You're looking at the one game. You're not looking at the whole season of work, what Drew Aller has done and what he's capable of doing.
So here's the thing that I look. This, you're going to Penn State fans are, they're looking at the interception, right? The interception was literally a microcosm of Drew Aller's four quarters. Yesterday, last night. That it sort of was, that is how the game went for him. That is how he played. That's how he performed. That game was not a microcosm of his season, but that interception at the end of the game kind of was like, yeah, it's kind of fits with the way that it's gone at the quarterback position today for Penn State. Not the individual, I'm saying the quarterback position. The play Penn State got out of its quarterback position, that interception at the end, it fit the mold. It's like, yeah, that's kind of how the day went for him. And it was not a microcosm of his season, but you can't sugarcoat it, Jimmy. This is a mark on him. This is a big game. When they're looking at him and evaluating him on the next level, you look at everything in totality, but then you also look at those next level moments and how they perform. This was a next level moment. He did not perform well. He's got to play out of that, through that, and above that somehow in the upcoming season as he completes his college career, because this one will leave a mark in the evaluation going forward in terms of him being a quarterback at the next level.
Yes, it will, Andy. And there's beginning to be enough of a sample size of quote unquote big games for Drew Aller. You know, the losses against Michigan and Ohio State a year ago. The losses to Ohio State and Oregon this season, then this loss. If you compile those stats, they just do not look very good. And by the way, I did want to mention, I don't know if I did, Andy, when we were talking about it earlier, you said that you thought it looked like Drew Aller was almost looking like he wanted to throw the ball away when he threw that the interception.
Throwing it to the ground.
Yeah, that is what he said after the game. He was looking, his words were he was looking to dirt it. And I think it was, he was thrown across his body to the middle of the field. And, he probably thought he was thrown in someplace safe and
that's
into
what it
the
looked
ground.
Like, to me, it looked like he, with his arm angle and the way the trajectory of everything, I'm like, he tried to throw it away and the Notre Dame kid made a great play. You know, we know now Monday morning quarterback, right? Go left. Read one, read two. It was clearly Omari Evans was clearly his third read, right? The time he had, it was getting a little tight. He was running out of time in the pocket. He had two reads to his left. Read one, read two, throw it away. He went to read three, throw it away. Bad decision.
He didn't do a good enough job at throwing it badly.
Yeah.
Meaning, where nobody was. And that's unfortunate. And it now, Andy, just to finish up wrap up the conversation on Drew Aller, it's interesting. Several weeks ago, he declared that he was coming back for another season. He then, and this was from the national broadcast, they said it was brought up to him, that question, and he started to leave things open for the NFL draft as, hey, I'll make that call after the season. And it's hard to tell if that was a statement like, just stop asking me that question. I already made the decision previously. Just and he tried to give a non-answer to it, but it was interpreted as he's considering it. Andy, I think this kind of performance just reinforces why it's probably in his best interest to come back for another year.
Yeah, he absolutely needs to come back for another year. He also needs the same guys as offensive coordinator next year. That will be important because there was over the course of, 16 games? They play 16 games, right? 13-3. 16 games, there was there was development. There was progress. There was huge steps forward. There's still a lot more to be made. And I definitely think he needs another year. And more than anything, what does Drew Aller need at Penn State? More than anything, God, that kid needs some help at the wide receiver position. It's almost desperation at that position for Penn State, Jimmy. This was a microcosm of the season. That was it.
All right, Andy, we got lots more to go. Stick with us.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter number three. Now, normally, Andy, quarter number three would mean we take our listeners' questions and we do Ask Andy. We're not going to do that today. We have so much to talk about with the game from last night. Not only that, it's such a quick turnaround. Full disclosure, we are recording this Friday morning. Just got up. Folks haven't had really time yet to send in their questions. But just for the sake of tradition and doing Ask Andy, let me give one because a question came in as we were recording here. Actually, it came in very late last night, but I just saw it this morning. Eric from Speculator New York says, Andy, help me understand what happened to our wide receivers during the game. They had no catches. Yeah. Did Notre Dame always have them covered, or were they a liability and they were taken out of the game plan?
I think they were partly taken out of the game plan because there wasn't really any intention showed over the first three or four possessions, right? There wasn't. You hardly saw any of it. I mean, he threw towards Wallace in the corner of the end zone there when the pass was picked off and the call for holding, defensive holding. Maybe one other target, maybe like two of his first 11 passes, maybe 10 passes, I thought, but no. They were a liability. We identified them as a liability. You're able to hide it for a long time. They had some flashes here and there of progress, but one of the absolute strengths of this Notre Dame team, one of the top two strengths of this team, and despite how it played out last night, I would not list the quarterback as one of their top two strengths, by the way, was the secondary and their ability to cover man, lock receivers down, confuse a quarterback with defensive scheme on the back end to throw turnovers, and create a ton of interceptions and a good number of pick sixes. That was what this defense did almost better than anything else, in my opinion. In fact, it was. What this defense did best, in my opinion, was that. And therefore, Penn State's deficiency at the wide receiver position was only going to be magnified because the gap was that big.
All right, Andy, let's move on. There were some more players on the field than Drew Aller. Let's talk about them because there were some Penn State players who came up big. I think I sent you a note as we were approaching halftime or when Penn State was up 10-0. And I said, up to this point, my MVP is the Penn State offensive line. They were doing a heck of a job, Andy.
They did. They were fantastic all night. I think Drew Aller got sacked once, if memory serves me correct. I know Penn State had at least, you know, five sacks. You know, Penn State rushed for over 200 yards on the ground, three rushing touchdowns for, you know, Nick Singleton. They were moving those gold helmets backwards. They were protecting their quarterback. They were exceptional start to finish. They gave Penn State's offense every opportunity to score 30 or more points, right? Like, that's the thing we talked about with a lot about Penn State, particularly in the last 2 months and through the college football playoffs. Can the other team get to 30? Can the other team get to 30, right? I knew Notre Dame's defense was good, particularly on the back end, but it was a good matchup for Penn State because that's not their strength. Throwing the ball down the field and testing their corners and safeties is not, quote unquote, what Penn State does and not their strength. And I'm like, they could stay away from that and still, you know, make hay with this defense. So it was about the offensive line, and they were fantastic. They gave every opportunity for Penn State to win this football game. They were the single best unit on the field, start to finish, A to Z, performance-wise, of any, you know, as you evaluate units, anybody on the field, they were the best and most complete unit. The Notre Dame secondary was second for me, but Penn State's offensive line was that good. They pushed Notre Dame around, and they kept him off Drew Aller at the same time. That's elite, Jimmy. There's no other way to put it. That offensive line, through the course of the season, throughout the college football playoffs, it became an elite offensive line unit.
And I'll tell you what, along with that, Nick Singleton really ran hard. Yes. You know, those touchdowns, there were meant, I didn't see the yards after contact, but he was in, there were many plays where he should have been brought down and he wasn't, just through his own force. We saw that with the TD runs, but also throughout the day, I thought it was an exceptional performance by Singleton. Not that Catron Allen was bad, but I thought Nick Singleton was pretty special.
Yeah, no, overall, Jimmy, you know, when I look at it and I'm like, I give Penn State's coaching staff, they have nothing to do, you know, in terms of, you know, blames. I thought both their game plans were pretty good and sound. I thought Franklin's game management was outstanding. And more than anything, he had his team ready for what a physical battle, right? Like, that's what a Notre Dame strength is. They like to be sort of a bull in a china shop or a bit of a bully. And they're a strong physical team over 60 minutes. When we were leading up into the college football playoffs, I was like, don't forget about Notre Dame. They're a full-grown man of a football team, right? Like, they're going to demand 60 minutes from you, and they're very physical, and they kind of push teams around. Penn State met them. Nick Singleton, he didn't chop, right? He wasn't trying to chop and run or look for space. He was leaning in and running hard into space. That's a difference, right? Sometimes he'll kind of pick and dance and find his way through and then put his foot in the ground and go. It was foot in the ground, north, south, and get what I can. Foot in the ground, north, south, get what I can. He ran exceptionally hard. Catron Allen always runs hard. That guy just runs hard for a living, right? But I just thought overall it was exactly what Penn State made it do. And they were equal to the physical challenge that Notre Dame sort of has extracted on teams. And, you know, you saw it in the first two college football playoff games for Notre Dame. They kind of, you know, physically they pushed Indiana around, and they made it hard on Georgia. Very, very difficult. Notre Dame's physical, the way they play a game physically, did not impact Penn State. That was not an impact in this game, and that's a credit to Penn State and their coaching staff.
It is, Andy. I think that's a good call on your part. Let's flip to the other side of the ball, and on defense, number 11, Abdul Carter. There was some question about him. We really had no idea about the injury. We knew it was a shoulder. First of all, just as a little sideline on all of this, James Franklin will never mention what the injury is. Never mention it. Drew Rosenhaus, who is Abdul Carter's agent. Yeah. Now, these college players have agents to help them through NIL. That is different than is that their agent for when they go to the NFL. Now,
correct.
Drew Rosenhaus is an NFL agent, and I'm sure he wants to be Abdul Carter's agent. I bring him up only because he was interviewed during the day. Well, Abdul Carter with his shoulder injury, and it's funny, Andy. It just tells you how the game is changing.
So here's what it's both of them. You have to go 11 and 33. I can't separate them. I'm sorry, Jimmy, in this. Yeah. But when you talk about Abdul, he was compromised, but he didn't play like it. And I will say that he had some pharmaceutical assistance to deal with the excruciating pain that he knew was coming his way just for playing in that football game. You could kind of tell on those moments when he would come off the field, it hurt. He wasn't injured. Okay, he has an injury, but this hurt. Like, it hurt him to play football. It hurt a lot to play football with a shoulder injury like that. But 11 and 33, Jimmy, you can't – they nearly won Penn State. Penn State's defense was not as good as it needed to be overall, right? Like, it was not. 27 points is a high watermark for them to give up points-wise. That's a lot. That's not performing overall well. These two guys were unbelievable. Combined for 11 tackles, 4 TFLs, 3 sacks, that interception, ridiculous, by the way, deny Dennis Sutton. I don't know if he's going to go to the NFL draft in 25 or 26, but he's going to be a much higher pick, not just because of that interception, but because of games like this. He had that interception. They forced a fumble. They had a pass breakup and a quarterback hurry. That was just two of them. And the backups were good, too, at the defensive end position. Vanover and Vilbert did just fine in the spot duty that they had on this night. Abdul Carter played as many plays as he could. They probably put him on a pitch count, and he was like, no, I'm staying in. Nope, I'm going. And it hurt a lot. He was unbelievable in that football game.
He was. And you said for Denai Dennis Sutton that interception may not change his draft status. But it also might. Okay.
It should.
It demonstrated such athleticism. That ridiculous. Was phenomenal. And a name that we haven't brought up yet, Andy, when talking about outstanding players, Zaki Wheatley.
Ridiculous.
He had 16 tackles. He had a sack. He had an interception, Andy. Numbers are crazy.
He was. Him and Reed have been the two guys that have been the hidden key to this defense all year, right? You lose KJ Winston. How are you going to sort of make up these two guys? I think I said it heading into week 12 or something. I'm like, how good is Zaki Wheatley and Reed Bin? I mean, think about it. I brought this up several times during the season. Like, hello, don't forget about these two guys. Don't forget about the way these two guys are playing. I mean, 9 solo tackles. Yeah, 16 total tackles on top of what the defensive ends were doing. What Notre Dame exposed and what they targeted. And the best adjustment they made, and we'll talk about it maybe a little bit more in the next quarter as we move on here and close out quarter three, they targeted Penn State's linebackers. That was their adjustment. That was what they made in what I call the great middle eight of a football game. They Notre Dame won that time period and the adjustment period hands down in the grade eight, and we'll talk about that when we get back. But that they targeted Penn State's linebackers, and they targeted them big time.
I do want to ask you about that, Andy. We will do that as soon as we get back.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hall Thaddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We're going over this Penn State-Notre Dame game. Quite disappointing, Andy. That, you know what?
Heartbreaking, Jimmy. That's a heartbreaking loss. That's not disappointing.
The higher you climb, the tougher that fall is. And this was a heartbreaker, a tough, tough way to lose it. A lot of different things went on in the game. In quarter three, we were going over some of the positives on defense. A couple of the negatives that we do have to hit, and this isn't to blame anyone, but the one fumble where Abdul Carter was the first guy there, Andy.
He lost the 50-50 battle in the scrum. It was a 50-50 ball. He had to contort like ridiculously athletic just to get himself near the football, like stop, and he got his hands on it, but it was a 50-50 battle in the scrum. And it was two Notre Dame against Abdul Carter, and the two Notre Dame guys won.
Well, when it went on live, Andy, my first perception was he was the guy there. In fact, I didn't even realize it was him. It was a blue uniform, looked like he was going to get it. And then also, it tells you in a game like this, you mentioned that as a 50-50 fumble, but this was such a 50-50 game. The other unfortunate was Cam Miller falling down. And you have a 50-yard. Yeah, it does. It happens, Andy. The tough part is when it's happening late in a game and it's the college football playoff semifinal.
Magnified.
Yes, it gets magnified. But the other thing that you brought up at the end of quarter number three was the picking on the linebacker. And it was Kobe King. And
to a degree, yeah.
He was put in such a tough position, Andy, obviously covering someone much more athletic than him with no help over the top. That's a mismatch. Credit Notre Dame for setting that up and making and executing it.
Notre Dame set that up. They changed their running game, too, at halftime. They went with more of a sort of a little bit of a delay to sort of let Penn State, particularly their linebackers, most preferably number 13, let them run to you or by you, and then we'll run past them, right? That was one adjustment. The targeting Kobe King in 41 to get an athletic running back and a super athletic tight end in open space, like he's covering like a quarterback. He's 250 pounds. And an inside interior linebacker trying to cover an athletic guy in space at 250. That's the mismatch. They ran it off. Formation, scheme, and design created that mismatch. And Penn State didn't adjust quick enough to counter it, right? Like it happened twice in a short period because Notre Dame knew it could. Penn State was slow on the trigger to fix that. That's just the simple mechanics of football, but it cost them a 15-yard pass interference call, and it
and then a big completion.
Catch down the field, yeah.
Andy, I want to shift gears a little bit because we do have to talk about it. With this loss, James Franklin goes to approximately Let me check my notes here. Against teams ranked in the top five, his record is now 1,357 bazillion. Okay.
Whatever.
And is that a fair assessment after this game? Is it fair to go there?
No, I don't think it's fair to go there. You could say they're 0-11 as an underdog. The last 11 games they played, right? They were the underdog, slight underdog, very slight going into the in the end in Vegas on this game. I don't, like I said, I'll reiterate. I thought their game. I thought their game plans were sound and outstanding from the coordinators. I thought his game management, I thought it's when to go for it, when to call, what to do, when to be aggressive. It all, I thought his game management was outstanding by his standards. And that's knowing that that's problematic for him. I think he had his team ready. I think all the elements came together. I just think his quarterback on this day underperformed at a level that didn't allow all of the exceptional play around him to overcome it, because the other quarterback was overperformed at a level that at the same level that Penn State's quarterback underperformed. I think that's what it was. And no coaching and no records and no big game this and big game that can overcome that. It's just, they just needed Drew Aller to, for lack of a better term, they just needed to be him to be a decent game manager on this night, and they win that football game hands down. And he wasn't. And it's not about the interception. It's about the overall performance. It just was not good, Jimmy.
It wasn't, Andy. But the fact is, you know, a famous coach once said, you are what your record says you are, Andy.
Right.
And James Franklin has to own that. And I think, and I've mentioned this before, I'm glad you brought up the fact that in those losses, I think he was the underdog in every single one of those, okay?
Yes,
that's
year,
why
yeah.
the opponent becomes a top five team, okay?
Correct.
But over the year, but what he needs to own is there were a couple of those years against Ohio State where he had double-digit leads in the fourth quarter. This was a game where he had a 10-0 lead in the first half. He then had a 24-17 lead in the fourth quarter and didn't find a way to hold on to the lead. So it's not, I don't think you could look at an individual game and specifically this game itself and say, hey, that's on James Franklin. But when you start to compile the numbers, here's what they look like, Andy.
Yeah. They do. It does. It says who you are. That is who we are. I think there were more things you could point to that you could lay at his feet. You can't lay at his feet Cam Miller slipping, right? You can't lay at his feet, you know, Drew Aller trying to dirt a ball and throwing an INT with, you know, 30 seconds left in a national semifinal. What he can control and impact, I thought this was probably one of, if not his better performance across the board, coordinators included, on this stage. Because don't forget, Notre Dame pushed back hard. There was an advantage in my mind, you know, Marcus Freeman, James Franklin, advantage Notre Dame. I don't think it played out that way, Jimmy. It didn't play out that way on this night to me. Even though Notre Dame made great coaching adjustments, it wasn't that Penn State was getting out-coached. I never thought that at any moment during this football game. And that's not been the case in the past.
I agree. I've been playing a little devil's advocate with you here on it. But I'm trying to find an area of this game where Penn State was out-coached or where the Penn right. State coaching staff dropped the ball. I don't think they did either. I think, you know, they have shortcomings at wide receiver. I think that's just the case. I do believe, though, that this was a game where I walk away from it feeling like Penn State was the better team.
They were. I agree.
I do think the one thing, Andy, that We saw this, I believe, other times during the season. I'll talk about the Illinois game, for example. That was a game at halftime that by that point, Penn State, you knew was the better team, should have been ahead by more.
Right.
And that's the way, and I realized they lost 4 points on that pass to Singleton that was behind him. Should have been a touchdown, and they would have been up 14-0 instead of 10-0. You know, and simple math says, well, they lost by 3 points, and they lost 4 points there. But no. The bigger point, I think, Andy, is, you know, when they were so completely outplaying Notre Dame in the first half, yet they finished the half only up by one score. That field goal at the end of the first half really changed the tone of that game.
It was with their backup quarterback too, right, Jimmy? It's the critical middle eight. It's the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. What happens there? And that was where Notre Dame rescued and gave itself an opportunity to win and be in this football game. Absolutely. They were down 10-0 with 2:18 left in the first half, Jimmy, right? After Penn State went on that 90-yard drive and went up 10-0. To that point, there's 2 minutes, 18 seconds left in the first half. Notre Dame had run 20 plays, Jimmy. 20. Had nothing to show for it. Backup quarterback in the game. Little spark. 52 yards. 13 plays. They kick a field goal. Bang. That opens up. Quarterback comes back. They make all their adjustments. Outstanding halftime adjustments by the Notre Dame coaching staff, by the way. Little nuancing, but well. First drive. 8 plays, 75 yards. Bang. That's the first 4 minutes of the second half. 10 points, all the work Penn State did over the first 27 and a half minutes of the first half got erased in 8 minutes by Notre Dame when Notre Dame was desperate and had to have it, and then it was a 10-10 football game. At the same time, during that time, Penn State's offense went 3 and out, and then they had a 4-play drive out. So that's the help that's the only help that Notre Dame needed. Notre Dame took the rest upon itself. Penn State helped them a little bit. But to that point, you're right. Penn State was dominant. I don't know that 10-3 made it a one-score game, right? Like, okay, it's a one-score game. But Penn State still has the upper hand. That first drive of the second half completely removed any upper hand Penn State had built. That's just the way I saw the football game.
Well, what I saw, Andy, was that that 3 points opened the door. Okay. That field goal opened the door. Second half touchdown was Notre Dame bursting through the door.
I think that field goal opened the promise gate for Notre Dame, right? Like it was like, is there a chance? Do we have a hope? Is there any promise in what we're doing? And I think it opened the door. Credit to the backup quarterback because he stood in there. And, you know, he completed 2 passes, and there were at least 2 more that I saw Riley Leonard complete. Outstanding coverage. You can't do it any better. And they're making those little things like that. They probably had 4 or 5 of those, right? I don't know that in the passing game, Penn State had any of those, right? Like that's the subtle difference.
It was. They made the plays that Penn State did not. Andy, that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.